So, of course, when a loved one is unwell, what we want to do is care for them as best as we can. That is what prompted Jim to get in touch with the programme. He's 91 years old and helps to care for his wife, Kathleen, who has dementia. Good morning to you, Jim.
Good morning.
Tell me, first of all, about Kathleen.
Kathleen, she's 83 years of age. She's confined to a wheelchair. She's lost the use of her legs and she has dementia.
And what prompted you to get in touch with the programme, Jim?
Well, my son and myself always collected our pension money. Kathleen wasn't able to collect it because she couldn't get out of the house. So, whatever happened, we mislaid the cards. I don't know how it happened, but we couldn't, wherever we left them, we couldn't find them. Maybe they were in the bottom of a plastic bag and maybe thrown out or something. Yeah. I'm not too sure. So we put John reports of them that they were missing, so the post office cancelled them. So then I was able to go to the post office and sign a form up there that I could get mine back. But you had to be in person yourself, and they asked you a couple of questions make sure that you are the real person.
Yeah, obviously there's a potential issue, Jim, with fraud or people trying to claim that they've lost their card and they're maybe trying to steal someone else's identity. So they're asking you a few questions to verify who you are. So that was no problem for your own card. But when it came to Kathleen's, what happened?
Came to Kathleen's card. I questioned them a couple of times. With the number on the back of every card, if you ring up, they're supposed to sort it out for you. So I rang them up and they were putting me from one place to another, and it was kind of an answering machine. Then when you go to somebody else, they'd ask you three or four questions, and it was you were speaking to nobody really. So then when I answered the questions, the phone went dead and I could get nowhere with them.
And it was difficult enough for you, Jim, to try and go through that process, so I assume then for Kathleen to do it would have been impossible.
Very impossible is right. So I suggested that they come out to see her and try and see how she was able to write, which she's not. But nobody could come out. So then eventually I said, well, how do we get something? Well, you have to get power of attorney for it to go through, and that would allow you to give you permission to collect Kathleen's pension.
So that's what you had been doing already, Jim. You had been collecting her pension for a couple of years on her behalf.
We have been collecting the pension all along. It's no problem once we had the cars, but when the cars went missing, it was different.
So you were told you need to try and get power of attorney. So what happened next?
Sorry?
You were told you needed to get power of attorney so that you could collect the pension. So
I didn't really know what power of attorney was.
Of course.
I rang the solicitor and I explained my story. So I said, how do you get it? So he said, it'll take at least 6 months and it'll cost around £1,500.
And is that money that you have, Jim?
Eh?
Is that money that you have?
Well, it's a matter that I have myself.
Well, can you afford that is what I'm asking, Jim.
Well, I probably could, but that's not the point, is it?
Yeah.
And we can't get her money.
How much pressure would that put on you, Jim? Because obviously you've been without, Kathleen has been without the pension for 2 months now.
Yeah. Well, on point of principle, then there could be a lot of other people, older people like me, in the same boat and don't know what to do. And I may be at a struggle. I could afford to get help and pay that money. But that's not the solution to the question.
How long has Kathleen been unwell, Jim?
Oh, 3 or 4 years.
So you've been her carer, essentially, for quite a while?
Oh, yeah, the carer come in 4 times a day to her.
And what do you have to do for her?
Sorry?
What do you have to do for her?
Well, when the carer aren't there, she's down in a chair in the living room. We bring her cups of tea and And then a lady comes in and gets her lunch for her and gets the lunch for the lot of us here. And she sits there and she says, when you're sitting together for a long time, there's not much to talk about. So she dozes off the chair and that. But I don't think it's right that she can't get her money.
Yeah.
We probably can afford for a while to she's not losing out at the moment because we're able to my money is able to keep the thing going.
How many years are you married, Jim?
Oh, 53, 1964, 1917.
It must be difficult, Jim, then, to see someone that you love very dearly being so unwell and getting to this point.
She doesn't realise. She doesn't understand what all this is about. She doesn't realise that she's not getting her money. You know, she's confused.
Does she still recognise you, Jim? Does she still recognise
you? Oh, she does. Oh, she doesn't recognise the family or any people that come in to visit relations or like that. She just know them by saying hello and that. They'd have a bit of a conversation, but she wouldn't be she'd be great for talking in the past, you know, what happened maybe when she was younger, you know. But present-day conversation, she wouldn't be very good.
Difficult for you, Jim, given you've been together so many years, that there's obviously a lot of pressure on you when it comes to looking after her, the day-to-day things you have to do and help the carers with.
You want to be living with somebody like this. I'm not great myself, you know. And when you're looking at a person that both of us worked all our life, we had a pub and a skill and worked hard all our life, and be left in this position now, it doesn't seem right.
It doesn't seem very fair.
No.
So what's going to happen if you can't get that money sorted? Because obviously we all have our bills that come out. We have to pay them. We don't have much choice when that comes around. But when your income is then cut in half, you lose one of two pensions.
Our money is in the account. It's not that there's no money in our account. All that money that she's owed is in her account.
You just can't get at it?
Can't get at it. I'm a common sense man that says to myself, it's our money, there's bound to be somebody come out and see for themselves and use your common sense and get somewhere to pay the money.
We did contact the post office, Jim, on your behalf. They were very apologetic and obviously had their sympathies in terms of your wife's health. They say, however, as we're sure you can appreciate, we take the security of our customers' data very seriously, which is why we are unfortunately unable to issue a replacement card to our customer's husband without the verbal or written consent of our customer. Now, obviously, that's nothing new to you. You know that.
Yeah.
They go on then to talk, Jim, about other options for the family to explore, including applying for the right to deal with the benefits of someone who can't manage their own affairs due to health reasons. This process of a family member becoming an appointee is managed by the Department of Work and Pensions, and so our customer would need to speak to them to arrange this. Doesn't really help you in terms of the response there, Jim. You've been collecting this lady's pension for your wife's pension for a couple of years now.
A couple of years, no problem. The people in the post office knew it, they were going in and getting in regularly and collecting your pension.
One of the issues here, Jim, is people, they're advised if their health becomes an issue or might be a question down the line, that they make preparations. So they might maybe apply for the power of attorney or transfer control of finances and that before they become too ill to do so. But when your loved one isn't well, that's probably the last thing on your mind because you want to care for them. You want to look after them in terms of their health as best as you can.
Oh, yeah. I'm annoyed because I can't see the logic in it. It's only a matter for somebody in that department to come out to our house and see my wife there. And somebody in charge of pensions should be able to say, well, the lady isn't able to sign her name, and why not give her a pension?
Yeah. Stay there for a moment for me, Jim, please.
Okay.
Also on the line is the Commissioner for Older People, Eddie Lynch. Good morning, Eddie.
Good morning, Vinny.
It's tough to listen to Jim there because obviously he's gone through a lot already. There's enough pressures on him there in terms of caring for his wife. They've been together for a long, long time. But is this something, this type of thing, is this something that you've come across before?
Yes, Vinny, it certainly is. And, you know, I'm very sorry to hear the situation that Jim finds himself. And really at a time where he's caring for his wife, caring for Kathleen, you know, this does put extra pressure onto Jim and the family at what is already a very stressful time. But unfortunately, this is something that's not unusual. There are legal and technical requirements that financial institutions are required to go through. And those really are in place, really ultimately, to protect older people and their money. But, you know, in these sort of circumstances, they can.
Sorry, we lost you a bit there, Eddie. Can you still hear us?
Yes, I can, yes.
Sorry, go ahead. We just lost your line for a moment there.
Yeah, well, obviously these situations are very stressful for any older person trying to sort out the finances. And my advice really would be that this is something that comes up very regularly. And really what we need as we prepare for an ageing population is to encourage more people to have these conversations earlier on.
But Eddie, that's fair enough to say, but whenever it comes down to the reality of life, which is we're not talking in theory of someone maybe getting sick, but when someone is seriously sick, like something like dementia, then quite often your immediate concern is just them, their health, their happiness, and how that's going to affect the family.
No, absolutely, Vinny, and this, it adds extra pressure at this a time of real great stress for the family, and I appreciate that is very little good at this stage. You know, I think that what we need also is a system that responds when people are finding these difficulties. And one of the things that struck me when Jim was speaking about sometimes the impersonal nature of dealing with organisations nowadays, you know, phoning up, having to press numbers, not finding it difficult to speak to a person and explain the situation. Because I think sometimes when you get speaking to a person in the situation, it can often be solved more quickly. But I think it is important, you know, there are options out there. There are many organisations that could provide advice, like Citizens Advice, Advice NI, Age NI, who can provide advice to older people who are in these situations that they find themselves in. But again, as we move forward with the ageing population, it is important that we look ahead. Unfortunately, more people are getting dementia in Northern Ireland. And it's important that at those early stages, whilst it may be difficult, having those conversations can lead to a better situation to both the person and their family, knowing that their finances are better structured and are in place.
Jim, just to go back to you for a moment there, because we've talked about the pension, but you recently were told about your wife's winter fuel payment. What have they said about that?
Well, we got a letter there last week, I think the week before. I got a letter from the post office or whoever, from the government, to see that £150 has gone into your winter fuel payment. And the same, Kathleen got her letter there the other day stating the same thing.
And you can't get at it?
I can get at my own money. But I can't get £150 gone into her account as well, but we can't get at that at all.
Jim, I'm sorry to hear about what's been happening and what you've had to go through. We have been in touch as well with the Department of Communities. They've asked us to send on some more details of yourself, and then hopefully one of their outreach officers will give you a call later on and they'll try and sort this out for you. Is that okay?
Oh, that'll be great. That'll be grand.
Jim, we'll catch up with you later on in the week to see if we manage to get anywhere with this, because obviously you're two months without. If this has to continue for much longer, this is going to have, you know, as day by day goes by, there's going to be more of a financial impact on you and your wife.
Yeah, sure, yeah. We're only looking for what we're entitled to.
Yeah. Jim, thank you. Stay in touch with us. Eddie Lynch, Commissioner for Older People. No problem, Jim. Thank you. Eddie, thank you as well. 030 30 80 55 55. Christine, good morning to you. First call on this today.
Yes, about 2 years ago, I'm a financial consumer for my grandmother's pension and my grandfather's, and I took their money out of the same post office for 10 years for them, and then her card expired and I tried to get her a new card and they said no, and they said financial controller. At that stage she developed dementia, And we had to put her into a care home at the same time, which was depressing. So I then had to ask for financial controller. I had to have an interview from somebody from the pensions, which they came out. Then I had to change all their addresses around. And by that stage, we were now 3 months in for not being able to access their money, even though we had to pay for the care home. I then had to have a second interview and send loads of documentation through. Still could not access your money 6 months down the line. When you phone the post office number to try and resolve it, it's a paid number. 4 times I had to phone and over £100 a bill each time that I got because they charge you for the number on the mobile. And to this day, 2 years down the line, they still will not grant me access to her money. So what we had to do was the pensions had to redirect their money into a bank account for her. So there's still 2 years' worth of her post office money sitting. And that the advice that they gave me was, when she passes away, come back with the death.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No.
And obviously, I've mentioned this time and time again already this morning, when you're not well or someone that you know, your partner or your husband or wife or your grandmother, grandfather isn't well, you're just deeply concerned mm-hmm. about them. And then this, and there's pressure enough there, especially mm-hmm. when you have all the health implications and what you have to do there, preparations, because quite often people and their lifestyle changes quite dramatically from what they used to do. Their independence is gone and all the changes you have to make around that. And then all of a sudden you have this financial issue hanging over you and this red tape, which I understand it has to be there to an extent, Christine, because there's protections yeah. and there is fraud. We know what happens. But there surely has to be some kind of fail-safe so that when people are genuine and they are desperate and in need, as you heard Jim there, that, and yourself, that situation, that they can make the allowances.
The power of attorney, he's right, Jim's right, power of attorney is about £1,500. But it's also nearly £500 to keep it running every year.
Say that again, your line's not great, Christine. It's another £500 every year then?
Yeah, that's what we were advised.
Well, that's a lot. If you think, I'm not sure, you know, I know that pensions can vary, but you're probably talking about a fair few weeks pension there alone just to keep that going.
Yes, and you're only entitled, so when you're in a care home, you're only entitled to £30 a month living allowance.
Right.
So everything else is taken out of their pension to cover the care home, etc. So there's no way you would be able to make that volume of money up again to pay for power of attorney.
So exactly, unless you happen to have money in the bank, which, let's face it, a lot of us just don't.
Yeah. So the £2,000 plus that she has sitting in her bank account, for us to retrieve that would cost £2,000. So they said we're better just leaving it until she passes. And that's what his words were to me. Crazy.
I find that just incredible because it's such a sensitive issue. What are you going mm-hmm. to do, Christine? What's your next step?
Nothing. I just have to wait. There's absolutely nothing that we can do. I have exhausted every single angle to get that money out, and there is nothing more that I can do except for go for power of attorney. And it's just not worth it. We just have to let that money sit there.
I'll tell you what we'll do, Christine, because to be fair to the Department for Communities, you've heard the post office statement earlier. They're offering to try and help here to see if they can sort these things out, the likes of Jim, and we'll pass your details on to them as well and see if they can help.
Thank
and hopefully
you.
One of their outreach officers will be in touch as well today. Christine, okay?
Brilliant. Thank
Christine,
you very much.
No problem. Thank you, Christine. John, last call on this for now. John, good morning to you.
Good morning, Vinnie. I'm a wee bit confused. I can't understand where people's coming with this £1,500. Is this £1,500 being paid for private pension or for state pension?
This £1,500, as I understand it, John, is to set up the power of attorney, so it's not really for any pension. It's the legal aspect of it, you know.
Right.
So you kind of like you would be transferring the control of finances to somebody else.
No, hold on a wee second. Now, let me tell you the situation. The last 5 years of her life, my mother had dementia.
Mm-hmm.
I become her power of attorney. The transfer was seamless. I hadn't one penny to pay. Not a dime.
So how did you do it, John?
I contacted the Department for Community. I was the Department for Health and Social Services then.
Yes.
They sent an outreach worker to me. The outreach worker sorted everything out. I then had the documentation to forward to the pension service up in Derry. and the post office in England. I've sent the documents to them as well. Documents sent back to me. The whole thing was sorted in less than a month. I was her power of attorney until the day she passed away. And I had absolutely and utterly no problems at all. None whatsoever.
Well, we need to look into that, John, to see how you did that and how maybe we can offer that advice to other people.
That's shocking, less than this 15... I can't understand this £1,500.
It's a lot of money to anyone, really, John.
It doesn't have to be paid. It doesn't have to be paid. This is baffling me.
And to be fair to Jim, that's what he's been told.
That's
so
absolutely shocking.
You know, we're acting on his behalf on this occasion. But you can give us an insight, John, because you've been there to an extent. I know a slightly different setup.
Yeah.
But when your loved one then becomes ill and you then, the responsibility lies on you.
Yes. And another thing too, and I'm just giving this as general advice, maybe. But in Jim's situation there, if Jim had a son or a daughter or a family member that was loved near to them, it might be a good idea if they become power of attorney for the two of them. Because it would mean then that Jim would have no problem going out to the post office at all. Maybe he doesn't want that. That's a different issue. But, you know... But anyway, it's a dreadful situation, and the thing of it is, it shouldn't be the case. It doesn't have to be the case. And there's no money to be paid. That's nonsense. There's no money to be paid. Anyway, for state benefit, anyway, for state government pension, there's no money to be paid for a power of attorney.
Well, let's have a chat with our next caller who might be able to clear that up. John, thank you.
Thank you very much, thanks.
Good morning to you, John. Michael Grahams, the solicitor who's contacted the programme. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Vinny.
So I'll be honest, when it comes to things, legal issues, I don't really know a lot about it. So when people talk about power of attorney, which is what our caller Jim was advised he needed to do in order to access the funds in his wife's pension, how does it actually work?
Well, so while someone is still mentally capable, they can set up an enduring power of attorney. It's a very, very simple thing to do. It's very inexpensive. I mean, I would say no solicitor would charge you more than maybe £100 to do an enduring power of attorney.
It might be a bit more complicated for a 91-year-old. But you're saying, so if you still have your if you're still aware of who you are, your faculties and all that around you, that you can do that, and it's quite straightforward. What happens then, Michael, if you don't, and if, say, for example, in Kathleen's case, you have got dementia?
Yes. So in Kathleen's case, obviously, the only option at that point would be to apply to the court, and that's for a thing called controllership. Now, controllership doesn't have to be as expensive as has been suggested there. I mean, I heard that figure of £1,500. It is possible for someone to apply to the court themselves. Obviously, as a solicitor, I wouldn't necessarily recommend that, but the system is designed to be used by lay people. And the court fee is only a couple of £100. So, you know, these figures maybe are a bit on the high side from my perspective.
So, well, we need to go back to Jim and see. He's obviously telling us what he's been quoted for that kind of work.
Yeah.
There's a lot of... Go ahead, Michael.
Citizens' advice are very good with this sort of thing, and very often can provide somebody even to help fill in the forms if somebody is unlimited means.
Okay, Michael, thank you very much for that. It's one of those things we don't really understand it unless you've been there, the legal ins and outs of that. So I think what we should do as a programme is to get a bit more detail, so that if it's something that's coming across your door very soon and you have to start to think about, we can give you some advice and information about how it actually works, the process that you have to go through, and all that.